Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Aaron Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Tonight, we are going to continue our study, Jacob's returning to Canaan after 20 years of service in Haran. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, will you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Our heavenly and gracious Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come before you this evening seeking your truth and your word, Father. Lord, your word just teaches us so much about you, Father.
Yes,
about
Lord.
Your character, about your love for us, and about the ways that we should live. Particularly how our marriages should be. There's so much that culture and society tells us that just doesn't align with your word, Father. And Lord, we just give you thanks for this study.
Yes, Lord.
The things that you're showing us. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to speak through us, speak your truth, and to minister to those that are listening here tonight and in the days to come. We just give you thanks. We praise and magnify your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Last week, we talked about Jacob and preparing to meet his brother Esau. And that was a tough time for him. He, after making arrangement, shared his people into major groups. And while he was alone, we learned that an angel came Jacob and the angel had a struggle whole night until day. And then the angelic being wanted to leave Jacob. And Jacob said, I will never leave you. I will cling unto you until you can bless me. Wow. How do you like that, Rob?
Oh, that is excellent. Yeah, sometimes we do that in our own faith. Mm-hmm. We just grab on to God. Of course, we see him wrestling here.
Right.
Before. And we do the same thing. I know I'm guilty of it. As we see danger or things coming,
right.
Which is what Jacob's feeling right now. He in Genesis 33,
right.
32 and 33, we see that his brother is coming with 400 men. He doesn't know what to make of this.
He does not know.
He can't sleep. He goes out and he wrestles with God all night long. And then he grabs onto him and says, bless me, bless me. And I think we do this sometimes too. We're facing turmoils and things in our lives.
Right.
We try to grab onto God and as hard as we can to figure a way out of our mess and then to seek his blessing.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right. Okay. Now Jacob was blessed, and there the angel changed his name. And he said, you no more Jacob the supplanter, but you are now Israel, Prince of God. Or one who struggles with God. His name was changed. But something else happened with Jacob in the change of name and in the struggle between the angel and Jacob. What happened there, the angel hit what? His thigh. And Jacob's thigh was dislocated. Jacob never walked the same way. You know, this reminds me of an old song that we used to sing long ago. The way I used to walk, I walk like that no more. The things I used to do, Jacob started limping, never walked the same way. But however, the angel left him. Now he was prepared to meet his brother. Let me read our text tonight. It's a little bit long, but it's good. Pick up your Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 33. Beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two male servants. He put the male servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, they are the children God has graciously given your servant. Then the male servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, what do you mean by all these droves I met? To find favor in your eyes, my lord, he said. But Esau said, I already have plenty, and my brother, keep what you have for yourself. No, please, said Jacob, if I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, please accept the present that was brought to you. For God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. I love this area. Now, tonight, let me tell you the things that we are going to study. Now, in this part, we are going to look at very carefully that Jacob was prepared to meet his brother Esau. We're going to study that. Jacob bowing 7 times to Esau was not a reversal of his blessing, but rather recognizing the leadership of Esau in that region, which is Edom. He recognized the leadership. The 20 years of separation resulted in a change of heart between Jacob and Esau. That we're going to study tonight. God touched Esau's heart to accept the reconciliation that Jacob proposed in bowing to him 7 times. Esau accepted the proposal by running first to embrace Jacob, his brother. The patriarch Jacob gained favor with God and with Esau. All right. Jacob meeting Esau, we started it last week. When Jacob saw Esau coming along with him, he was afraid, as we discussed last week. If you have not listened to the video, last week's video, please do, because the video is, then you will be connected to what we are studying tonight. Please listen to it. All right. His fear causes him to line up. He arranged his people in a different way. I mean, he was so afraid. Last week, the thing that was so that I made emphasis on was what did Jacob do? Jacob made other his plans before he started praying. Right? Rob?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he started to divide his house so that he could protect them.
Yeah.
And he does this first. You know, he was basically racing ahead of God. Then he stops and prays and seeks God. And then, of course, we read about him wrestling with God.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we are taught to do today is anything you want to do, what do? You pray first. But Jacob, the patriarch, went ahead and made all the arrangements that he felt were necessary to protect his family. And then came on the drawing board and fell flat before God Almighty to pray. That is the difference we see today. Okay, but he prayed and prayed and prayed. Now, this fear causes him to line up all of his people, as Ralph have said. But there was something he did. He bowed down before his brother excessively, 7 times. I don't know. We're gonna 7 times he bowed before his brother while his brother was coming. He bowed before him 7 times. What was it? Esau accepted Jacob. He ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, greeted Jacob's family. He refused the gift, but Jacob insisted, "My brother, if I found favor in your eyes, please receive the gift that I have given you." And Esau accepted the gift from his brother. But the thing that I want us to think about tonight is, Esau and his brother have been a loggerhead, and then they separated for 20 years. Now, his brother returning, sending message to him, and Esau coming with 400 men, that triggered out something in Jacob. And Jacob was confused. He began to cry to God. We touched on that already. But what we find in there is that Esau ran first to Jacob. Rob, what do you think? What is happening here?
Let me back up 1 second.
Right.
There's something else I want to touch on too. When we see some of these details that are recorded, so as you aptly pointed out, he bowed 7 times.
Right.
7 is a number that's used all through Scripture.
Good.
It indicates perfection or spiritual perfection.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's 7 days in a week, 7 uh-huh. seals, 7 trumpets, 7 parables in Matthew,
uh-huh.
and 7 promises to the church. There's also 7 candelabra on the menorah that was
right.
set in the tabernacle. And it also pays homage to the sevenfold spirit of God that we read about in Revelation.
Right.
You know, these right. are the spirit of truth, power, love, self-discipline, wisdom, judgment, and life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see these things, not only is it respect, but there's some deeper meanings that are indicated. Just like we saw when they cut covenant last week, there's so much more to the covenant than just the promise.
Yes.
And it's something symbolic. It's a solemn oath that was happening at the time, but it's also pointing forward. And I think this is pointing forward as well. So remember, Esau was the older brother, and here we have Jacob, who is going to be the line, the seed, from whom Christ will come from.
Uh-huh.
But now we see him bowing down to his older brother out of respect and out of him being in Edom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, you're...
Just some thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are right. You nailed it. You really nailed it. You are right, Rob. Now, let's look at a few commentaries that and what they say about the excessive bowing of Jacob to Esau. Now, the Barrett J. D. Hesser, he's a prominent scholar. In fact, they are he's one of the editors of the Fifth Life New Commentary. Great commentary. It's free. You know, they want every pastor, every Christian to have that. It's free. Great, great, great work they did there. And he's one of the major contributors in that commentary. But this is what he wrote about the 7 times. 7 times, the sevenfold prostration was used to express subordination to a superior. The inclusion of this detail by the narrator points to the irony of the situation. Lordship and the prostration of his brother's sons were part of the blessing Jacob stole from Esau. That's what he's saying here. Okay. The sevenfold prostration is known from an ancient Near Eastern sources. For example, in the Amarna letters, a series of letters exchanged between the Egyptian pharaoh and his underlying governors in Canaan, we read, quote, 7 times and 7 times I fall at the feet of the king, my lord. Now, he is saying something that it was a practice that you do before a king. You fall down 7 times, and he was able to quote a reference from the Egyptians' record, and that's what he said here. But let's look at another one that was written by Matthew. Matthew said this. Let me see. That Jacob humbles himself before Esau is consistent, however, within the context of Jacob's reconciliation, expressions of lowliness. That is, my master Esau, I'm your servant Jacob. This concession should not be taken as a signal of reversing the blessing comments but rather the response of humility. Jacob fully admits that his success derived from God's grace alone, not by his superiority to Esau or any other. Now, this other commentator, what he's saying here is that Jacob falling before Esau 7 times should not be seen as a signal of weakness or reversing the blessing that God has given him. What do you think, Rob?
I agree. I think this is him showing respect to his brother.
All right.
Who this is his land now that he's coming into. I think it's his humility and also him making amends for his past as well.
Right.
But I think most of all, it's really him. Yeah, it's really him coming before his brother and showing him respect.
Yeah.
Again, these are some of the things that we've lost in our culture today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have lesser symbols. So I think it's important to again search the scriptures, see what scripture has to say. We see this bowing that it's common before the king.
Mm.
And so I think you're right on that this is the respect that he's showing him. For his domain, his dominion.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're right. Okay, now we Dr. Henry L. Morris also commented, and I love to read that as well. As was customary in those days, the TRL Amarna tablets record that one approaching a king always bowed 7 times in so doing. Jacob bowed low before Esau 7 times as he came near him. This was not intended as an acknowledgement of his weakness on Jacob's part, but as a token of respect and recognition of Esau as ruler of the region, that is Edom. What do you think? Murray is your buddy, right?
Yes, I like his work.
Right. And he did a great job. He did a great job. Yeah, I love what he said here, too.
Yeah, I think he's spot on.
He's really spot on.
Yeah, and you know, and if we go back just a little bit, back to Genesis 32, we saw in Jacob's prayer, Genesis 32, 10, 11, he said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies.
Right.
And of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I pass over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me.
Yeah.
And the mother of my children. So he's recognized, you know, what he's done. Now he's coming to terms with his past.
Yeah.
Coming to meet his brother, hoping to be forgiven and to be able to be restored to his family, and also showing the respect that is due to his elder brother, but also the one who is head of this land.
Right.
So yes, I agree with Orson and with what you're saying. I think this is excellent.
Right. I mean, he nailed it. Okay. Now, you have just touched on what we are. Jacob's excessive bowing 7 times to Esau and the importance of number 7. I think you started talking about it already, but I just wanted to add a little bit, a few more, because you touched it already. You see, in what we call a biblical numerology, it's the study of numbers in the Bible. Two of the most commonly repeated numbers in the Bible are 7 and 40. For the purpose of this study, we will focus on 7. The number 7 signifies completion or perfection. And we can look this up in Genesis 7, 2 to 4, and in Revelation 1:20. It is often called God's number, since he is the only one who is perfect and complete. The number 7 is also thought to be the number of divine perfection. You touched this already. I just trying to add a little bit more. It derives much of its meaning directly to God's creation of all things. We know that there are 7 days in a week, and God's Sabbath is the seventh day. So God created all things within 6 days, and the Sabbath was the day of rest. So it's the time of the day of perfection. It's the number of perfection and completeness. So it's and then Jacob bind down 7 times. You know, it means a lot. All right. Now the Bible was not this. The Bible was originally divided into 7 major divisions. We got the law, the prophets, the writings, the gospels, and Acts, the general letters, the epistles of Paul, and 7, the book of Revelation. So that's 7. There are at least 7 men in the Old Testament who are specifically mentioned as a man of God. They are Moses, David, Samuel, Shemaiah, Elijah, Elisha, and Gedalia. These 7 men were called, you know, 7, it has a great, and like what you said, Rob, I really, you know, it was great. 7 has a great, it's a great number in the Bible. Whenever you read, it stands for perfection, it stands for God, and it stands for great things in the Bible. The number 7 is used 735 times in the entire Bible, 54 times throughout the book of Revelation in the Bible. The number 7 is the foundation of God's word. And that's what one commentator said. Rob, what do you think? Because you have already commented on this.
Oh, this is just amazing how, you know, here in Scripture we have our Bible that was written, you know, over 2,000 years. I mean, great time passed between the first books and the last books.
Right.
Yet there is so much continuity throughout. It's just amazing. I love this. And you nailed it. Yes, 7 days in a week. The 7 spirits of God that we read about in Revelation.
Right.
It goes on and on and on. There's so much to it. And then he bows 7 times as well. And I think he understands these things and what the importance of the number 7 is.
Right. You know, that's the point. That's the main point.
Yeah. Had he bowed once, maybe not so important, but 7 times. I mean, that is how it's direct recognition of a mighty Lord.
Right.
I think there's a big difference. So it's very important to pay close attention to these things. It just illuminates so much more of the Scripture for us.
Right. This is really good. Now, there's something here that I want us to look at. It's very important. You know, bind 7 times sent a specific message to Esau. See, one commentator talked about this, and he said, buying 7 times was a proposal made by Jacob for Esau to reconcile with him. He might be wrong, he might be right. But let us, and what the commentator pointed there is that he said, see, that Esau, Esau accepted this proposal, so he ran. He was the first to come and embrace his brother. You know, and that's great. Okay, now the next thing that we look at, we look at the bind, and we will still be talking about it because as we go into the time of embracing, Rayburn said this in his commentary, and I love to read this. Quote, translators should try to have in mind the full picture of the movements and actions of the two brothers in verses 3-4. Whether they need to put more details into their translation or not, for instance, we may suppose that Jacob did not begin buying until he was reasonably close to Esau. And we may suppose that Esau was walking ahead of his men and began running toward Jacob before Jacob had finished making his seven bows. It also seems from this verse that it was Esau who came up to Jacob rather than the other way around to finally bring the two together, unquote. Now, what he's saying here is a long quote here, but I think the idea is that we need to catch the whole picture. Remember that the text said Esau was traveling with 400 men, and Jacob had arranged his people behind him, and he alone was in the front. But Jacob did not stop buying when he was walking, but after he saw his brother coming, then he started doing the buying to him. That was sending him a message that, look, we need to reconcile. We need to be one again. I recognize your power in Edom. You are the leader in Edom. I recognize that. And so Esau also left his men, and he got in the front to meet his brother. And I just love that he came running. Now, what we do today is somebody wrong us. What do we? In a case, it's so difficult to say whether Jacob was wrong or Esau was right because everything was planned by God. But as we look at it from the human point of view and from the cultural point of view, right? Right? Yeah. When we look at it from the cultural point of view, which the firstborn should have the what? Should be the head of the family. Then, of course,
right?
Yeah. Right, what do you think?
Right. Culturally, Esau should have received the blessing and should have been head of the family. But remember, Jacob stole that from him.
Right.
Early on. And I like what you said here because, you know, they've been wrestling their whole life. And then here it is before he goes to meet his brother, he's wrestling with God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see this tug of war, this constant going back and forth. The same was in the womb. You know, it's their whole lives were striving against each other in a sense. But now here we see a change of heart and a change.
Right. See, now, I just love this part. He came and he was the first when he saw his brother proposing to him. Now we got to make up. We got to come together. He ran and left his 400 men to his brother. He ran straight to his brother. Now, that's what I'm thinking. See, because I mean, he's supposed to have waited for Jacob to go to him and submit to him, but he came. And we can see the change of heart right there as a result of the 20 years being apart. Something went on, something worked out in the heart of Jacob, something worked out in the heart of Esau, and they're coming together. Was something that God himself did. What do you think, Rob?
Oh, absolutely. We see a change in both of them. You know, here Jacob is submitting and recognizing his brother, and here his brother is running to him. And then we see him saying, hey, these gifts, they're not necessary. You know, Esau telling Jacob, these gifts are not necessary. They're not needed.
Yeah.
You know, both of them have been blessed by God. And over this time, that you know, their hearts have been restored or healed, and they've forgiven each other. You know,
yeah.
We see. I mean, he's running to them, not just walking or sauntering out, but running and racing.
Run into him, yeah.
Brothers. Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I really love. Run into him, you know.
Yes. Yeah, it paints a very vivid description of what's happening.
Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. Now we have Matthew also mentioned the resolution of Jacob and Esau conflict. God just did it, and look what Jacob said here. He said, "For to see your face is like seeing the face of God." In verse 10. See that? Just seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. And the great thing here is that Jacob received God's grace. When God's grace and favor is upon you, he will turn your enemies into friends, right? So God touched the heart of Esau, who wanted to kill his brother. After 20 years of being apart, God touched both of them. I don't know. Because coming to meet his brother with 400 men, I don't know what was his intention. What do you think?
Well, I think there's several possibilities. One, he may not have realized that it was Jacob that was coming to him, that maybe this was some other band.
Right.
That was coming into his territory.
I agree.
You know, I think there's a variety of explanations. So, and the scripture doesn't really tell us what his thoughts were. But what I think is important is looking at the actions and what is said between these two. That reveals so much more. So we see he leaves the protection of his men when he realizes it's Jacob. And I don't know if he realizes just before this or at what point. But we see him, as we said just a moment ago, just race towards his brother and embrace him.
Yes, thank you. And then they did what? And they cried together.
Yes.
Wow. And they cried. And that's what the text said. See, they wept. It's all good. God have done the work. The brothers have met. They've had change of heart. Jacob had his own. Esau had his own. Esau was already worth it. And in fact, in one of my lectures, one of my teaching, I did that for I don't know how long. But when in that study, what we discovered in that study was the blessing that Jacob received from God, it is the family line of Christ. It does not mean that Esau was poor. Esau was a very wealthy man. In fact, Esau became kingdom before Israel. If you check that out, anybody listening to me tonight, you can check that out. Esau became kingdom and powerful. The only thing in that study, which I don't want to go too much into here, is that whenever, if Jacob is in the wrong, he would admit and repent, but Esau will not. That's a major difference. But Esau was wealthy. His kingdoms were blessed. But because of his heart, that way he had a problem. But anyway, so here we see, at this time, when they came, we are seeing the change. We're seeing crying together signifies the change of heart. We do not know, but this is what we see in the text. So here is prayer to God, and they cried. But then something happened. Esau offered he offered his brother Jacob to go with him. And the purpose of that for his protection. Esau offered that his brother should go with him to Edom, to Mount Seir. But Jacob did not. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to figure out what Jacob was thinking here. Here he rejoins his brother, and then immediately after rejoining, he parts ways. God had told him to leave.
See? Okay. All right. Okay. So he had the problems here. Instead of joining his brother, he said, no, I'm going to come later on. I will take time. But he did not go. So this is the problem we find. So as we go along, we'll start soon and soon. But we are almost, our time is almost, but here, what we want to study tonight is the two brothers met. They embraced each other and they cried together. We can conclude that something, there was a change that took place. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is that why Jacob did not go with his brother? Because his brother said, well, you need to come with me because I will have to protect you. All right? But he did not go. He decided to go in a different area. All right? So we'll come to that next week. We got a few more minutes now. We'll come to that next week. So all that we've been looking at tonight is Jacob is returning home to Canaan. And last week I told you that Jacob did not go to Canaan directly. There was a little disobedience on his part when God spoke to him, go and join your people. He did not go directly there. Jacob stopped somewhere. And where he stopped, he stopped in another area called Sychar. Where he stopped, he encountered so many problems. I don't want to go into that, but we're going to pick up from there next week. Next week. Hey, Rob, do you have any concluding remarks?
Just a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
One thought is talking about Genesis 32 and Jacob wrestling with God. You know, we see this pattern through Jacob's life where he gets ahead of God.
Right.
And it's something that we need to be careful of.
Right.
But then when he wrestles with God and God touches him, what happens?
Good.
He hits him so that he's limping after this. You know, it's
right.
Same with us. When God touches us, we never walk the same way again.
We never walk the same way.
Forever changes our walk, both mm-hmm. Figuratively and literally or physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here we see his faith building over time. But even in this, even after he meets with his brother and he's scared and everything's okay.
Right.
Still goes another way. So I find that interesting. But the great thing, the great message in all of this goes back to the covenant that God's made.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's an unconditional covenant. God's still going to be with him, protect him, and bless him.
Right.
So even though he keeps backsliding or falling away or having a weaker
right.
faith, he should. God's still going to honor that promise. Just as he does with us. You know, we all have peaks and valleys in our lives. Times when we're wrestling with God, when we're getting ahead of God.
Right.
And as people, patient, and we forget to just go and pray. So this should remind us, you know, seek God first, pray to him, seek his will, try not to get ahead of him,
mm-hmm.
And instead listen to him and trust in him, and he's going to be there for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to go ahead of us and make the way. And prepare it for us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Okay, now, Jacob left, and Esau went back home to Masir to Edom. Jacob and Esau met again at the funeral of their father, Isaac. That was the second time they met. All right, but we're going to discuss this probably a week from now. The point we want to make here is that God began to work in the hearts of the two brothers. We stop here tonight. Rob has given us the concluding remarks. And those of you that are with us live tonight, if you have a question that you want to ask, I'm going to unmute everybody and you can ask that question. Or if you have a comment you want to make, you're welcome to do it. Unmute everybody. If you have a comment, you can just talk. If you're on the phone, hey, you can talk. If you're on the computer, you're welcome. If you have questions to ask, please do. All right?
Yeah, Pastor Leote.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the study today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have questions, but there's a lot of lessons that I've learned from the teaching today.
Thank you.
In regard to Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things I see in the life of Jacob that we need to be mindful of is we got to be careful how we make quick decisions before turning back to God.
Right.
To ask God.
Right.
Because we may not be privileged like Jacob to have the second chance to come back to God to ask Lord, I'm not going the right way or the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be careful and examine ourselves and know that the scripture says we must commit our all to Him,
mm-hmm.
the author and finisher of our faith. And anytime we struggle like Jacob, when we are faced with situation, no one wants to humiliate. Think that we can solve the problem ourselves.
Right.
We realize that we can't solve it, then before we start looking for God,
mm-hmm.
and God does not work in that.
Right.
That's one of the things I see there. And for the humbleness of Jacob before his brother,
mm-hmm.
it's another thing. So he could have said, well, I have some wealth, I have family now, and so Esau, what a need, but he realized that even in that state that Esau was in a position and he still need to get in that respect.
Right.
So many times, sometimes we see that we have reached certain stage and so we start to disregard people, whether they are Christian or not.
Right.
But we must learn to respect people. The scripture says that we should honor God, honor the king, Lord, and we will learn to reference God in all that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the study today was very much important with the culture, addition, and things to it. Those are things that we need to learn because we have missed a lot of things in our culture because we have inputted other culture into our family life,
right?
Into our personal life, into our situation, into our country. And so we don't really have the kind of culture that we had before.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things are getting us to go the wrong way.
Right.
Well, thank you for the study. I thank Brother Ralph too. Pray that God will inspire you people as you continue that we can learn more.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The voice is Pastor Jeffrey Howard. Thank you for being with us tonight and for your comment. Okay. Next week, we are going to look at Jacob. Did not go directly to Canaan, but he stopped to a little town. He settled there for a long time. Okay, if you are listening to this teaching by way of replay, or if you are on YouTube, if you are on our website, just give us a comment. If you are on YouTube, hey, we have some of your thumbs up, thumbs down. Give us a comment how you what you feel about the lesson. Let us know. Please do. When you are on, if it is on YouTube, just give us a comment what you learned about this lesson. Give us suggestions. All right. And thank you. Thank you, everybody. Rob, can you please lead us in our final prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this study, for this time to gather together to learn more about you, about our history, and about what it means to have a biblical marriage, Father. Mm. We just thank you for this time and just praise and magnify your name. In the name of Jesus, we come together. In his name, we're saved and pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, everybody. Next week, come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.